You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Jaguars. I am Tony Wiggins along with Philip Proves. Let's not bury the lead. Let's get right into it. Andrew Luck's misfortune and the Colts' misfortune looks like a treasure for the Jacksonville Jaguars. In fact, many fans around Jacksonville, while they were very sympathetic to Andrew Luck's injury and his sudden retirement from the Indianapolis Colts, a lot of people were like, this has to be too easy for Jacksonville now to make it to the playoffs and possibly win the AFC South. You add that to the continued troubles of Marcus Mariota and the uncertainty of the quarterback situation in Tennessee, along with the problems with the offensive line and the Jadeveon Clowney fiasco in Houston. And you just wonder, does this make it all easier for Jacksonville? In my opinion, yeah, it does. I don't necessarily like things to be easier. I like to win when you're just better than the other opponent. However, I do understand the fact that sometimes an easier road is the best way. The perfect example of that is the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots have won all of these championships and Super Bowls by playing in the AFC East, which gives them home field advantage, usually. In some cases, they did not have it. But for the most part, they go through the entire season unscathed or less scathed as most of the other teams around the league. And that probably gives them an advantage on health. It gives them an advantage on just the all-around physical nature of football. You don't take the constant beating. So, in my opinion, this does help Jacksonville. Now, you could look at it a different way. You could say that it also puts pressure and removes excuses from this Doug Marrone-coached regime. There are no excuses now. There's no reason for this team to say that they did not have every single advantage that they could possibly have. Last year, the excuses were plenty. Blake Bortles, a bunch of injuries on the offensive line, guys not living up to the standard of a team that knows how to handle success and knows how to continue to go out and play well and do the things that they need to do. However, those excuses won't exist this year. I really, really believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars, if they don't win this season, the heat will go up on the front office and the heat will also go up on certain members of the team. And you'll start to hear phrases like they need to blow it up. They need to blow it up. So sometimes what's good cannot be so good if you really look at it a certain way. And what I mean by that is you think it's good that the path is a little bit clearer, but now the expectation level changes. When you think that that path is clear, everyone else thinks that that path is clear. And I think the coaches now have to start coaching against complacency. You have to make sure that your team don't read the press clippings. You can't let them say, hey, okay, it's easy. And all of a sudden, Jacoby Brissett comes out here and he's mobile and he's running around and he's throwing the ball. I would suggest that the Jaguars, and I'm not going to say we suggest the term grit, but I will say that what the Jaguars need to do is they need to try to have the attitude right now that the Indianapolis Colts players have. And what that attitude is it's us against the world. We have a lot to overcome. Nobody believes in us. Because in 2017, you felt a little bit of that when it came to this football team. You felt that when they promoted Doug Marrone and people were like, who the hell is Doug Marrone? And why did they keep him? And why didn't they change the whole thing? And they kept Blake Bortles and folks were like, and I was one of them, what the hell are they thinking about? And I'm still one of them, by the way. But what were they thinking about keeping Blake Bortles? And how come they didn't move forward and move on from Blake Bortles? Well, you have to find or manufacture those things now that it appears that Jacksonville is at every single advantage to win the AFC South and be the team that represents the AFC South into the playoffs and possibly even win as many as five and maybe do they run a sweep? Six divisional games. You win six games in your division, you're doing more than just winning your division and going to the playoffs. You're getting a bye. So all of these things are going to come into effect, and now the expectation level of the fans has just ratcheted up just that much for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think it's incumbent on the coaches and the entire staff to avoid the complacency that might come along with that. Locked On Jaguars.
We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our Jacksonville Jaguars with the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. You could attend the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. For the month of August, you can earn double credit back from 10 to 16% on all your purchases through the Vivid Seats app. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. And for Locked On Jaguars listeners, you can now enter a promo code KICKOFF, that's K-I-C-K-O-F-F, at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event.
Welcome back to Locked On Jaguars. I'm Tony Wiggins. I'm going to bring in my man, Philip Cruz. Phil, what is going on, brother?
How's it going? We got a hurricane coming.
Yeah, man, I know it. A little tropical storm stuff. One thing about this negativity we're talking about in the first segment, what can be positive, can be negative, what can be negative, can be positive. You never want to see destruction, but there's usually no crime. There's usually no crime, and there's usually a sense of community when everybody helps everyone. So the downside is people's lives can get turned over by these storms, and it causes everything to slow down, and sporting events are canceled, and power can go out. But the other side of it is usually everyone's working together and kind of reminds us of what everything is. I'm not going to preach, but I'm just saying that's the – We always get together as a family, and we all get in one place, man. And it's a good time to kumbaya and hold hands and just hope that nothing bad happens to us or anybody else.
And you know who's going to come together this season? The Indianapolis Colts, because I think they're a very dangerous team now. I know they lost their quarterback, but man, that team's going to come together right now. Everybody seems to have thrown them in the trash bin and discounted them. And listen, that is a good roster, Andrew Luck or not. It's a good team.
And there are people around the league that believe that Jacoby Brissett is a starting quarterback in this league, and I agree with them, by the way.
If you have Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback and you put him in front of the best offensive line in the NFL, which I think the Colts have, from top front five, then you don't need to have Andrew Luck or Tom Brady or anyone back there. That quarterback, as long as they can see the field and make the open throw in Frank Reich's offense, it's still going to be dangerous.
They are going to be dangerous. So to dissect Brissett, I believe the year before they hired Frank Reich, which is the year before last, I think when I was on radio and I was talking to one of the guys from the Colts, I can't remember whose name it was, but the Colts were winning 11 games in the fourth quarter that year, where they ended up, I think, with the number four pick in the draft, and they took Quentin Nelson. They were actually winning 11 games. The Colts were hard out for everyone that they played that year for the most part, but they just couldn't finish. So people are going to look at Brissett, and we're going to tie this into the Jacksonville Jaguars. This isn't about them, but, you know, we the fans around here love to hear about what's going on behind enemy lines, so that's why we're discussing it. But this isn't, okay, well, we saw what Brissett did 2 years ago. No, I hope folks realize that last year in the offseason, teams were offering second-round pick for Jacoby Brissett. So when teams are making these offers for these players, and the Colts were turning them down, one, the Colts were smart because I think they knew, and they probably had an idea that Andrew Luck was dealing with a lot more. And I was the one that didn't think that his injury situation was that big of a deal anymore. But obviously it is, and his durability was more than questioned by a lot of people, and I thought that, okay, well, you know, they're not in a draft that had six quarterbacks and they had a top five pick. They didn't take one, so they must know something we don't. Yeah, you know, it wasn't that they knew that Andrew Luck was healthy. What they knew is that they had a capable backup in Jacoby Brissett. So what people are doing, and I think it's a mistake, is they're equating how Brissett played in 2017 as to now. That's not the same team. That is not the same offensive line. Those are not the same weapons outside of T.Y. Hilton and Doyle, the tight end. That is not the same scheme. That is not the same coach. That is not the same play caller. That is not the same defense.
And they got a defensive playmaker at each of the three levels now on defense with Justin Houston, Darius Leonard, Malik Hooker healthy.
Yeah, and Malik Hooker is the real deal, and he was banged up as a rookie, and he came back last year and had a very, very good season. Shows the kind of that he showed, believe it or not, and I'm going to say it, that Ed Reed, Sean Taylor, Earl Thomas type range at safety that you don't often see. So my thing is, the Colts have been knowing for a while that they were dealing with this. It caught us by surprise. But do you think the last 3 weeks of preparation, it caught them by surprise? No, it did not. And you're hearing people, I've seen some outrageous things on social media saying they're going to end up with Trevor Lawrence or Tua or Tagovailoa. They're not going to end up with either one of them because I think the Colts are going to win. I actually think the Colts are in a better situation than the Tennessee Titans are right now. In terms of, and that's bad for the Jaguars when you think about it like this. And this is why it's imperative for Jacksonville to handle their own business. It's bad for the Jaguars because when I tell you that the team that's in the worst driver's seat or position or in this division is the team that you can't seem to beat even when you're better than them. The Jaguars were better than them in 2017. The Jaguars were better than them, believe it or not, I'll go all the way back to 1997. Or 98, 99, whatever year, they were better than them, and they can't seem to beat them. To me, the Tennessee Titans is the problem, and they're the worst team in the division. So this is why I go back to Jacksonville. They have to find a way to handle their own business. You have to find a way to be not reactive to what someone else is doing, but you have to be proactive, and you have to go after them. This team is going to have to go after Deshaun Watson. And when he gets loose, they're going to have to be able to control him from scrambling. This team is going to have to find a way to beat Marcus Mariota or Marcus Tannehill or Ryan Mariota or whoever the hell starts at quarterback. They're going to have to stop Derrick Henry from bullying them in the fourth quarter. This team is going to have to protect the ball on offense. This team is going to have to stay healthy in order to win. More importantly, and this is something that we discussed in the first segment to lead in. This team is going to have to battle against complacency when they play teams like Indianapolis that no longer have Andrew Luck because of his retirement. And they're going to have to go out and not look at this as an easy win because it's not. The fans can do that all day. They can't. The team cannot do that. Now, am I confident that they can? Sure. What are the ways that they can do that? Protect the football field. Got to protect the football. You got to protect two things. Not only do you have to protect the football, you have to protect Nick Foles. Foles cannot stay on his back. Foles cannot, as we saw in that preseason game last week, force him to do a lot of things where he's throwing when his feet aren't set and he's throwing on the run and he's throwing off time. That alarmed me a little bit when I watched him because I had never seen him have to really do that, and then I was uncomfortable watching him do it last week. So what do you think based on what you saw with that? Is that what teams are going to do, try to get him off time a little bit and mix and match some things?
Yeah, but good luck if you do it because I think John DeFilippo, it's all a chess game, right? And if he sees that coming, Foles can get the ball out of his hand very quickly and he could place that ball very well. And that was something that Blake just couldn't do, right? Because especially in those quick hitters, those screens and everything, it felt like Blake was really trying to guide it, and it was almost like he was trying to shoot darts, right? Mm-hmm. Like playing darts, and when you're trying to kind of like guide it with your eye and go it, and the ball is always, you know, very catchable when it comes out of Nick Foles' hand, and I think it's going to be very easy, especially with Leonard Fournette as a safety valve. If they're going to try to disrupt Foles and try to bring some extra pressure, they're just going to distribute it very quickly and, you know, spread the defense out and make it more difficult for them to do it. So I think the biggest thing with Foles is now you're not handicapped with play calling. because I think that was the biggest issue with Bortles. They really handicapped with play calling. At least Foles has enough skill as a thrower and as a quarterback and enough, you know, mental aptitude to be able to counter what defenses are going to throw at them. And the Andrew Luck thing, it kind of reminds me almost of when Tom Brady went down in the 2008 season and Matt Castle had to step in. And remember when Brady went down and everybody was panicking and they were like, oh, no, like the Patriots aren't going to do anything. Well, they didn't qualify for the playoffs that year. I think that was the last time that they didn't make the playoffs since, you know, the Tom Brady era. But they still went 11-5 that year. Mm-hmm. And
you can't knock them for going 11-5.
No, 11-5 wins playoffs, this. Right. That wins this division this year, without a doubt. Would you agree? 11-5?
Yep. So. Yep, I do. I think 11-5 does win the division, man. But it's funny. This is what you can get on Locked On Jaguars. We compare Andrew Luck going down to Tom Brady going down, and it'd be right, and we're not crazy. We can also compare the way Blake Bortles threw the football to playing darts, and he's right. And now I'll tell you where else I was right. I said it was like a quarterback playing cornhole. I told one of my friends in Fort Lauderdale. It's like Blake was playing cornhole with the football.
And that checks out.
Yep. And Nick Foles doesn't have to do that. All right. Last segment. We're going to ask something about the coaches. Can they really coach? And what I mean by that is this all for naught? Are we thinking that it's the solution is done because we've changed out the quarterback position and we got health on the line? And the special teams, we have some kickers, and the defense is back, and everybody's attitude has been adjusted. Are they really the right staff? Have we ever asked that question enough? And what if they aren't? Is this all for nothing? Well, this is a good question, and we'll talk about that in our last segment. And we have an interview for my friend Demetrius as well. So we'll do that on the other side of Locked On Jaguars. All right, welcome to the third and final segment of Locked On Jaguars as we head into the final week of preseason, game week versus the Falcons, final cuts. We'll have a little bit more of that for you on our next episode as we preview the Atlanta Falcons game. But question to ponder here. Is Doug Marrone the right guy? Is Todd Wash a great defensive coordinator? Is John DeFilippo, who was fired last year by a good coach, and Mike Zimmer, somebody that everyone respects? Can you get by with a coach who, or I don't know, who's admitted that kind of did things the wrong way last year and wanted to do things a little bit different, who's been, man, he's been transparent, and he hasn't blamed other people. You know, I get mad at the front office sometimes because they always point to players and immaturity and all of this stuff. Doug Marrone has looked in the mirror and said, nope, it's him. We got to do things differently. And I applaud him for that. But when you add that in and you add in Todd Wash, who constantly has to defend himself from whether it's people in the media, also people who played the game about his coverages and the type of defense he plays, and whether or not it's a hybrid and if he's really going to run a 3-4 or 4-3 or whatever, he constantly has to. And he's the one constant that is also left over as a coach from the failed regime of Gus Bradley. Throw in the fact that the offensive coordinator, who gets a lot of credit for winning the Super Bowl with Nick Foles in Philadelphia, when he actually wasn't the offensive coordinator, that was Frank Reich at that time. He was the quarterback's coach. Goes, and when he gets his opportunity last year to be a coordinator, he got canned right in the middle of the season by one of the most well-respected coaches in the league. So I asked you, are they the right group? Will this year determine that, especially if there aren't any injuries and the expectation levels are a little bit higher because of the misfortune of the other people in the division? Are they the right guys in your opinion, Phil? And if they're not, how bad is that?
They just need to work together with all the resources that have been brought in. Look, you could already see some of Dom Capers' influence in preseason. you know, with some of the stuff. And if Todd Walsh can learn to, you know, not be so stubborn and be a little bit more malleable with the defense. And it's one thing to have great players, but if you're not putting those players in the best position to make impact plays and get around the football, this defense should be leading the league in takeaways every year. It should. Compound that with the fact that we should be playing with more of a lead this year. They need to be top three in takeaways with the type of talent and the chess piece that a guy like Josh Allen can give to this defense. And you could disguise a lot of coverages, etc. So as long as on the defensive side they show a little bit more malleability, that's going to be a positive thing. And on the offense, look, John DeFilippo, like you mentioned, he went a little bit rogue last year in Minnesota. And he never really did get along with Mike Zimmer. Apparently Mike Zimmer wanted to just hire Kevin Stefanski from the get-go, and he kind of got pressured into taking John DeFilippo and pairing him with Kirk Cousins. But you also have to kind of think of it from John DeFilippo's perspective and his shoes. John DeFilippo last year was one of the hottest head coaching candidates, right? He wanted to show the league that, look, I'm going to do it my way, and it's going to put us in the best position to win. And to be fair, he wasn't wrong. The Vikings did not have the offensive line that they needed to consistently run the football like they wanted to. Dalvin Cook was not available to run the ball like he wanted to. They were really banking on him having a big year. And if you saw the first, you know, play from preseason, you know why, for the Vikings this past game. And, it's... If you put yourself in that perspective, you can kind of see it. So as long as he understands that, look, I have to do what's asked of me and use my personnel to the best of its ability, then we're probably going to see a huge improvement.
I agree with you. I would go along with the fact that sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes a coach can be a good coach, but it just doesn't fit. I think Sean Payton at one point was run off by Bill Parcells, if I'm not mistaken, or George Fossil, or whoever it is. Peyton was run off. You look at a lot of these coaches, and they were miscast and put in positions where they shouldn't have been. So, yeah, I'll roll along with that. Also, you mentioned Dalvin Cook, and I'll warn people about something. This is one of the things that I talk about all the time. You have to be, when you're in personnel, be convicted about stuff. But sometimes it could bite you, and here's the thing. They weren't taking Dalvin. I'm a Florida State fan. Jacksonville wasn't taking Dalvin Smith because they wanted a bigger back when they took Fournette. So this whole, well, they took Fournette and they should have taken Mahomes or Watson or Dalvin Cook. Well, they weren't taking a quarterback because they were convinced or committed to Blake. And they weren't taking Dalvin Cook because he wasn't a bigger back. So if Dalvin Cook turns out to be as great as he looks like he's going to be, especially since he's not been injured, you have to then go back and say, is it a flawed philosophy to marry yourself to stereotypes or typecast or to plate glass the type of player you want, as opposed to just taking the player who's great right in front of your eyes and just using what he does? So all of that stuff goes back into it, and you have to consider that when you consider the decisions that this team has made.
Yeah, without a doubt. And on that note, we're going to bring in our guy on the ground, Demetrius Harvey, with yet another outstanding interview with hopefully Jaguars starting tight end. Looks like he's coming back from injuries in practice. And now Jeff Swaim. Here's Demetrius with Jeff.
So how did it feel to get back out there?
It was great. I got to run around a little bit, did some individual, ran some routes. Just moving again, at a fast clip is nice.
So you're able to get back out there, and what do you feel is your best asset? You're able to run or run block and catch. Do you think you're better at one or the other, or do you think you're pretty well rounded?
Well, I don't know. I'll let somebody else decide that. I just try to do the best I can do with what they ask me. And so for me, that's run blocking, pass blocking, running routes, seriously, whatever it is. I feel I'm more than capable in all those areas, and so all that's left is to go do it, I'll let the chips kind of fall where they are, what I mean? I try to stay away from the whole predictions and all that stuff. I know how I can play. I think I can run routes pretty well, I've been a good blocker in this league, so that's just something I need to continue to prove every day.
Correct. Yeah, so right. Over the past couple of years, you've kind of been on and off the field, like injured, not injured, and now you're finally back after being injured. So how does that play a part in your mental, and you're able to go out there and perform the best to your ability?
Yeah, when I'm playing, I don't think about it. I really don't. And it's not something I don't have to it's not something that I have to force myself to think about. When I'm playing ball, I don't think about it. I just play football. And, yeah, you try to prevent as much as you can by your work off the field. But, dude, you can only do so much. And some of it's just luck of the draw. And, you know, the injuries that I've had, and I've said this before, like the injuries I've had, if you looked at them, they're just I got hit in the shoulder and tore my pec. Like, there's not a lot I could have done about that, you know. And last year, my wrist, I got landed on weird. And so there's not stuff you can do to prevent that. So I don't really worry about that. I know the preparation that I put in every year in the offseason and the routine I have during the season to make sure that I am staying as healthy as I can, my nutrition, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then once you go play, it's just, man, you're just playing ball. You're not thinking about it, to be honest.
Exactly. Yeah. So playing with Nick Foles, how has that been? How has that connection been with you?
Yeah, it's been great. He was a big part of the reason that I wanted to come play here, you know, was knowing that he was going to be here, and I got the chance to watch him. You know, I was in the NFC East. I got a chance to watch him. So I know the kind of player he was. I know how much he likes to feature tight ends. And that was a big part of it, obviously. But, yeah, he's got a great command of his offense. Really good leadership qualities. He's a good person. And those things – Those are awesome to have in a quarterback, and it's great to have that in your locker room as a presence. So I was fortunate, you know, I got to play with Dak for, you know, a couple of years, and he has a lot of those leadership qualities as well. You know, good man, good leader, those kind of things as well. So it's nice when you come in and you see those attributes. You know you got a good leader. For sure.
So last question: how does it feel being out there in the heat? So you were in Dallas, yeah. Obviously it's probably hot in Texas, but is the Florida heat a little different?
Yeah, it is. It's more humid, obviously. You know, when I was in college, I was in Austin, and that was pretty hot as well. Dallas is hot. It's just not as humid. So it took a little bit of getting used to, but I'm sure, you know, your first Sunday at 1 o'clock, when your adrenaline's going, you're going to be feeling it a little bit, I'm sure. Everyone seems to. But it's not something that you can't overcome. Certainly preparation and being out in those elements help.
So, I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's enough for today. It's game week. Tomorrow when we come back with you, we're going to be previewing the final preseason game and talk about some of the position battles that will go on in that game. But until then, I'm Tony Wiggins with my man Phillip Prues here on Locked On Jaguars. Until the next episode.